Welcome to Shoot Me Straight. Dave Fields, Eddie Gallagher. We're here with Britton Colquitt. He's a good friend. He was actually our first podcast that we ever did.
Got this thing started, man.
Yeah.
No,
just kidding.
But it was so badly recorded that we couldn't even put it out there. But now we've come full circle around. It's been a little over a year. And it was the first time when we were doing our podcast that I took about 45 minutes in, I was like, dude, this is awesome.
Yeah.
I'm going to get this place set up so that we can continually do this. So it's super helpful.
Well, you have transformed it. Looks good.
Yeah.
You guys seem like you're killing it. So thanks for having me.
Yeah. This is all props go to Dave for transforming this whole space. I mean, this is his doing for sure.
I don't think you guys had a name.
We didn't.
Yeah. Nope. Yeah. You were the very first, man. You came in here. We apologize for sort of screwing that up a little bit, because that was such an awesome interview, too, for our first one.
All good. Yeah.
But thankful that you came back. It's been a year later now, so I appreciate you taking the time coming back here and talking to us, man.
Yeah, man, thanks for having me.
Yeah, he was a former NFL – former? Are you still
– No, I'm out. Yeah, I'm out, so former.
Okay. NFL kicker. Your brother's a kicker. Your dad's a kicker in the NFL. So, and I think that's one of the only families like that have all three kickers. Is that correct?
Well, punters, but
punters.
I mean, yeah, we kicked the ball. Yeah. So dad played for the Steelers. We all played at Tennessee. We had a cousin at Tennessee as well that punted there. But us three made it in the NFL. Dustin, our dad had two Super Bowls. Dustin had one and I had one. We're actually the only family in the NFL that the father and both sons has a Super Bowl ring.
Yeah.
Dude, that's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And you were in college at Tennessee?
Tennessee, yep.
Okay. And then from college, you went directly into the NFL?
Yeah, I went to the Broncos for 6, and then Cleveland for 3, and Minnesota for 2. Played 11 years.
Wow.
Do you have any other siblings that did not?
No, it's just us two.
That's it? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I was about to say,
that'd be kind of tough.
That would make Thanksgiving dinner awkward, right?
Yeah, like, exactly. Hey,
pass the peas, you loser.
Yeah. Reach over there with your ring.
Yeah.
No, thankfully, no. So, but now all the kids, they got, you know, Dustin has 4 kids out of 5, or 4 boys out of 5 kids.
Yep.
I got 2 boys, 2 girls, so.
Nice.
They all think that they can do it too, so we'll see what happens.
Well, you know, it's in their genetics for sure. I don't blame them for thinking that, you know.
I'm trying to, you know, show them that there's more to life, because I'm in that transition phase right now. Like, okay, I had to grow up and figure out how to do big boy stuff.
Become an adult.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I was able to just, like, you know, lengthen my childhood 11 years longer than anybody else. Really more like 15 or 16 years because of college. So,
which is all, I mean, that's a blessing in itself that you were able to do a childhood dream for that long.
Mm-hmm,
but definitely. I definitely know that feeling of like when that dream ends and having to transition out, and then you're like, oh shit, now I have to learn how to be an adult and take on adult responsibilities, which you probably, some of those responsibilities you didn't have to handle you're in the NFL.
No, almost none of them.
Do you find it? I mean, I want to get into obviously your career and how you ended up in the NFL, but do you find, like, having your kids now, and I know we were just talking, you're running them around to different sports and doing the dad thing, do you find it hard to sort of manage their expectations a little bit? Like, obviously, they have a dad that's champion, a grandfather's champion, an uncle that's a champion, and they're probably like, this is what I have to be. Do you temper that a little bit? Or like you just said, you try to show them there's more to the world than just being in the NFL or whatever.
It's so complicated and tricky, because it's like, for one thing, you know, all kids are so different.
Yeah.
So you really have to parent all your kids differently. You know, you don't want to be a different parent, but you got to parent them in different ways, and they all have different needs. They care about different stuff. You know, one of my girls could give a rip that I, you know, played in the NFL or any of those things, and the other girl thinks it's like the coolest thing ever. She's like just now understanding, and she's like bragging to all her friends and all this stuff. And then, you know, I got Rhodes, who, you know,
he's his Shep.
Yeah. Wild, so his man. Shep, they like get together, they see each other, and they're like two dogs at a dog park, and just like just goes, you know,
two
and
savages.
Yeah. And you know, Rhodes is freak athlete, unbelievable at everything he does. Been doing it since he was like 1 and a half. Whereas Nash, my oldest, who's almost 12, didn't play a sport till he was 5 or 6. But always believed because he saw his granddad and his uncle and his dad what we did. He just thinks that that's what you do. Like your profession, if you're a guy, is to play whatever sport you choose.
Yeah,
he just believes it. And honestly, that's was my thing. Growing up, I just believed it because I saw my dad, all the Super Bowl rings. I saw the pictures, you know, Terry Bradshaw, Lynn Swann, Mean Joe Green, Franco Harris, the steel curtain, all that stuff. That was just normal to me. I was like, okay, that's what you do. Like, imagine if you saw your dad, you know, in a military outfit or with a bunch of doctors, and you're like, I'm going to be a doctor.
You're a product of your environment.
It's just what it was. And I think that's one of the big reasons I made it, because I completely believe that from a very young age. I was, the thing where the second grade teacher asked what you're going to do when you're older.
Yeah.
They're just like, I'm going to play in the NFL. And they're like, oh, really? Like, seriously, what are you going to do? And I'm like,
I just told you.
Yeah. But then fast forward, and then when I'm like getting towards the end of my career, my wife every single day is like, what are you going to do after the NFL? And I'm just like, I'm in it. I can't, I just couldn't wrap my head around that. So that was like a whole new thing for me. And obviously now I have the regrets where like, why didn't I start things earlier? But like when you're in it, you're just so in it.
Yeah.
And then when I'd come home, this is kind of going back to your question, but I tried really hard when I was in the NFL to only be like, that was my job. That's it.
Yes.
Like that was not who I was. And it was easier for me because I was just a punter. I didn't have this like playbook I had to study all day long. I could leave, at like 1 o'clock in the afternoon, come home, be with the family a lot. They thought it was cool, but it was like, I took that hat off and I was, godly dad. That's who I wanted to be, and husband, just like you guys do. But I made sure that, so the transition has been a lot easier on the kids. They have not been like,
Yeah.
They didn't even identify me as that. They really didn't. They thought it was really cool to go to some games, and now they're thinking it's cooler because they're getting older, so they're getting it more. But I think I just really focused on, being, who God wanted me to be, and that was literally just my job. So
that's definitely a healthy way to go about it. I mean, when I was, in the SEAL teams, I tried to do the same thing where come home and it's like, okay, I'm hats off, I'm home, I'm dad. Obviously, it was hard at times because there is bleed over.
That would be really hard.
Yeah, it's tough. But, it's the same thing. My kids grew up going into the teams with me, like hanging out in the team rooms. That was their world. That's what they knew. But I found it funny, man, like when because it was the same thing. Like, this is just my job. I come home, I'm dad, and that's how I think they looked at me most part. But then when all that stuff happened, obviously, and I was put in the news and all this, stuff came out about my career and like all these things that I did, my kids really didn't know any of that. So then they were like, oh, all right. Like, you did all this while that's what you were doing when you were gone. I'm like, yeah. But it's not, I didn't talk about that stuff I was home, right? I tried not to. It's because I got my youngest son wants to be, he's like, I want to be a SEAL. And I'm like, well, let's talk about this. And, I've told, just like I told my older son, I'm like, don't do this just because this is what you were raised up in.
Right.
I mean, but at the same time, I'm also proud. Like, if that's what they want to do. But I try to temper their expectations a little bit and like try and hey, there's other things out there to do. But at the end of the day, if they're driven to go that path, then I'm going to support them.
Like, dad, when you went to work, you were smoking bad dudes. That's what you were doing at work.
That's a crazy conversation right there.
That is. Yeah.
Well, I mean, they were really bad.
Like Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, I didn't like it either.
They were all bad.
Yeah.
What's wild to me that I remember from the last time when we first podcast we did was how similar it was for you being in the NFL and you being in the teams, mm-hmm. that y'all both, there was this sense of like, then I had to go to grow up or be in big boy. It's like, you don't think about that from my side. I'm like, dude, you're an NFL player. You're Navy SEAL. Like, that's a huge profession. And you feel like but everything was done for you so much while you're in there because you were so specialized, right? They're worried about you getting out there and performing.
Right, exactly. Yep.
You know, and so, like, they'll take care of everything else so that you can perform. And then when you get out, then it's like, no, you got to do all these things that you've never had to deal with before.
Yeah, that's what makes transition tough out, you know. I mean, it's just part of life. But, yeah, it's like you said, when you're in it, right? That's your main focus. Mm-hmm. It's like, I'm doing what I love. You're still – my wife calls it Peter Pan syndrome. It's like, I'm never going to grow up. This is what I'm doing. And then you don't think it's ever going to come to an end. Yep. That's how much you're in it. You're like, this is what I'll be doing until I can't walk anymore.
100%.
Right? But the reality is, it's like, no, it's going to end at some point. And I hopefully, you know, I'm sure the NFL does doing a better job of it, of like trying to set guys up for success when they get out. At least I hope they are. I know the SEAL teams are. They've created a bunch of groups and organizations that help prepare guys. Like, hey, a year out, start going through these processes to like learn how to do resumes, learn how to get a job, see what you're going to want to do when you get out and what you're going to be good at. And here's how you can take the skills that you've learned when you're in and apply those to the outside world,
right?
Which is, you know, needed. But it's still, I mean, it's still a tough road.
It's just sure. So different because it's like, you know, with what he's saying about comparing us and the, you know, obviously yours is, you know, lives are on the line. Ours, you know, performance matters in every job, but when performance matters to the point of, you know, you could let your team down and then you see the fans and you see, you know, the impact it is. I mean, people worship football. Yeah. It's sad how much, you know, it's a small, you know, lowercase God to a lot of people in this country. Yeah. And so like what you do is, you know, really affecting their life. And like, just like when, what you did truly affects lives, like living and dying. And so you do have to be completely, in a way, you have to be, you know, dislodged from the rest of the world, dislodged from normal things. And, you know, it's just like so hard to wrap your head around, you know, doing those things. And like you said, they make it to where they do things for you, or, you know, your wife helps with all the things that you would normally do if you just had a 9-to-5 and then you get out and it's just like crazy. And then for me, I mean, because it was my dream, it's really hard to say, like, you know, everybody says, like, what do you want to do when you grow up? And just like, I did it. Like,
yeah.
Completely did it. And Nikki's just like all the time, like, well, what do you want to do? Like, what is your heart desire? Like, what do you love? And I'm like, I did it.
I
literally did it. Like, dude, not many people can say that. I'm so grateful and thankful that I can say that. But it's done. It's over with. Like, I can't now just create some new passion. I mean, it's going to have to be, you know,
organic.
And, yes. And I just can't say, like, I've always wanted to, you know, go into the courtroom and win a case. You know, I can't say that. I can't say I want to go into the operating table and, like, save a life.
Yeah.
You know, I just, like, can't. Some people can say that. I wish I could.
I'm glad to hear you say all that because that's exactly how I feel. Because I think there's this big pressure when you do get out and when you do transition, like, hey, all right, now it's time to reinvent yourself and you need to find your new passion and your new purpose. And that's what I mean. And I get why people say that because they're like, this is what's going to help you going forward. But I was the same mindset. I'm like, dude, I did my dream. Like, I lived my passion for 20 years. Like, I think, especially for the military, people have this like, oh, you know, you served and now it's done. And like, now you get to do what you want to do. And it's like, no. I wanted to serve.
Yeah, that's what you wanted to do.
I wanted to do. I wanted to go deploy to combat. Like, I grew up running around with guns in the backyard, like, and then it just transitioned into my adulthood, and I got to do that. So I don't have the same like, it's that pressure. You know, I think some people feel like I have to find something else that's going to give me purpose. And, yeah, you should find something else, but don't overload yourself where you're like, it's never going to be the same as – you know, playing in the NFL or being in the SEAL teams. I understand that. I'm like, and I'm, you know, I'm just like you, I'm satisfied. I was like, dude, I'm content with what I did. And yes, I will do things going forward. But it's going to happen organically. You know, I'm not going to force myself into, you know, this is the new thing I'm going to do. And then just to be find out like, nah, I really don't like this. You know? Yeah. I think the big passion is, it sounds like for you too, is my family. Like that is my passion right now. I just want to be around them.
Yep. Right. And they're not here that long, you know? No. I mean, even my 5-year-old, that's going to fly by, dude. Or 5-6-year-old, it's already going crazy. So it's just like, I'm just pouring into them, you know, doing real estate, trying to figure that out.
Yeah.
But like, Nikki's like, do you even like real estate? I'm like, I mean, I think a lot of people in their life, if they make money doing something, they end up liking it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, but you know, if I help somebody get into a house and they're happy, I mean, that's a good thing, you know? So it's just, you have to do something.
Do you think some is like, hey, purpose being like, hey, I need to do something that's helping others, directly helping others. And that could be a multiple different vehicles. It may be real estate for a little time and then something else, but as long as I'm directly helping someone else, is that a big, like, that's really the why.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I mean, yeah. I mean, because even, you know, when you're in football, you just have the platform to help so many people. And so you're able to fulfill that thing. You know, I work, you know, open to working with kids. There's just not a lot of kids that kick and punt, you know, so that's something that I could definitely do. I could still use that talent. Obviously that would be, you know, a lot more fun than, you know, going and trying to sell a house and things like that. But, it's really about making a difference and being purposeful. But the biggest thing is just your family. They're going to be here for a small window, you know, lead them in the right direction, you know, teach them to be, you know, men and women after God's heart. And it's kind of all we can do.
Yeah. What's the number one thing you hear? Cause I have 4 kids, almost same age. You have 4 kids, pretty much same age. The thing that I hear, 2 things really, I hear all the time. One is, looks like you got your hands full. even my kids joke about like hearing that all the time.
Yeah.
Second thing I hear all the time is they grow up, don't take it for granted, some version of that. They grow up so fast.
Yeah.
You know, which almost when daily. You hear something over and over from different people, usually I'm annoyed, but then I'm also like, hey, there's some level of deep truth in that. And so
I can attest. Yeah. They grow up fast. I can attest to that, but I was in the same boat when my kids were younger and I, you know, people were like, don't blink because they're going to be gone. And you're like, yeah, when you're going through it, you're like, yeah, right. But now that I have 2 kids out of the house, you know, my, oldest left obviously for the Marines and then my daughter's out. It's almost like a punch to the gut a little bit when your kids start moving out and you're like, oh shit, like it's happening, you know, and then the house is empty and you do have that like, man, that flew by. And then I catch myself like reflecting now back like, oh my gosh, when they were little. I mean, it's all good, but yeah, it does go by fast.
It's crazy.
And you only have a certain amount of time to instill your values, your beliefs into them, because at the end of the day, whether you like it or not, you're going to have to release them into the world and let them fly on their own.
Yep.
And as you guys know, the world is full of just evil, deceitful distractions, especially nowadays, that will try and tear your kids away from the core values that you believe in. I mean, that's pretty much what's going on all the time, is they're constant. It's with the phones and everything else, they're constantly trying to capture your kids and be like, no, no, this is the way. This is what society believes. And you have to battle that on a day, even when they leave the house. It's, you know, they'll come back and you still have to give them talks like, you know, they come back with something they learned or, you know, some BS that they heard regurgitated to them through social media or whatever. You have to sit down with them and be like, hey, do you think that's right? Do you think, you know, what's being put out is correct, and have those conversations with them. But I do believe, though, if you do a good job of instilling all that while they're growing up, they will know what's right or wrong, and they will come back. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, it's an evil world, dude. So it's just so, so different back when we didn't have, you know, connectivity to everything.
Yeah. It is.
Well, I mean, we've put our foot down. We're like, you're not getting a phone until you're driving. It's just, we just aren't going to do it. We just can't do it.
Smart.
And they don't ask anymore, but I mean, it's just so many evils out there. It's scary. And you know, now with all the crap that went on the last 4 or 5 years. Like, we can't trust anybody. Mm-hmm. We never could probably trust the government, but we definitely can't now. Mm-hmm. You know, anything in power.
No.
It's just, like, crazy. You know, you saw it firsthand. I saw it firsthand.
Yep. Which, yeah, let's get into that. I mean, because I know we talked about that the first interview that we did with you, and but let's get into that because I think that's a big deal. So you were obviously in the NFL. Which team?
I was with the Vikings.
The Vikings. Yep. Okay.
Yep.
And then the vax mandates came out, right? And
yeah. So my first year was the you know, empty stadium year. So that was like the big COVID year. You know, COVID came out, and
was that 2019, 2020?
That was 2019. Yeah. 2020 was my last year. Okay. No, sorry. 2019 was before that. 2020 was the empty stadium year. So that was my last year.
Got you.
My last year in the NFL was like playing in, you know, half the stadiums were empty. It was that was a weird,
that had
eerie,
to be weird. Yeah.
It was I really always think back to the very first game we were in Minnesota's beautiful dome, you know, stadium, and we're playing the Vikings, and Aaron Rodgers is out there, and it just like was so quiet. You know, what you heard those years on TV, you actually heard some crowd noise, but that was pumped through the TVs. That was not even in the stadium.
Yeah.
So it was just, it was like we were at just like a scrimmage and it was just like an inner squad or scrimmage where you're like, you know, your squad plays their squad, no fans, nothing. It was so weird. And like they'd score a touchdown and you'd hear like the 17 players on the sideline for them yelling and screaming and like cheering. And it was just like echoing in this massive
stadium.
That had
to be so
awkward.
It was
so weird. And it was really hard to do your job, you know, at a high level because you're used to the pressure of it all.
Yeah.
You know, even in practice or at least training camp, you got fans there, but you know, in practice, everything in the NFL is like, just like what you did, you know, it doesn't matter what you did yesterday. It's like, what did you do today? Yeah. So I had a job interview every single day that I was working. I mean, I only punted twice a week in practice and then of course the game, but like I felt those nerves, those butterflies every time I was about to hit a ball or hold a ball because they're watching you. I mean, you got scouts out there with clipboards and, you know, if you have a bad day punting, they're like, what's up with you? You know, like what? And I'm like, I had my best game of my career like 3 days ago. What are you talking about? Yeah. And they're like, you didn't look very, you know, what's going on? Are you hurt? Like, and you're just like, holy cow.
Yeah.
So anyway, the back to the empty stadium, that was just like such an eerie deal. But
I'm sure. So. I remember during that time, like it wasn't the NBA. They had like fake cardboard cutouts of people in the audience.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
That 100%. Was freaking awkward. Yeah. That was more awkward than just having them empty. You're like,
super
what?
Weird.
We're just putting fake people in
just
the stands.
Just for TV.
Yeah. And then I remember UFC, which actually, I will say this, it was awkward, you know, because UFC didn't have the people in the crowd and the yelling, but I did like the fact when they fought, you could hear every smack
hit.
You're like, oh, dang. Yeah. But it was still, I'm sure that was awkward for the fighters too, because they don't have the crowd there to sort of, and that, I'm sure the crowd gives you a little bit of extra, like, all right, we're
huge.
We're here.
Yeah. Tons of energy.
Yeah.
Energy in good and bad ways. I mean, you know, whenever we played away games in that, I was like, all right, this is kind of cool. I can get down with this. Cause, you know, away games, especially as a punter, you're kind of over there alone and you're like right near them and they'll just heckle you the whole time. You know, they'll just ride you, you know, you're almost like, if you hit a bad punt, you're running off the field and just like, dang, I'm going to get this from this guy. You know, like,
are they trying to get in your head? And
oh yeah. I mean, they're getting in your head. They're just telling you you suck. They're like, you know, everything, anything in a mat. I mean,
yeah.
Philadelphia, places like that, anything you can imagine.
Yeah.
My dad played. I mean, they were like throwing stuff at you, bottles and crazy stuff like that. Yeah. They've kind of shut that down, but yeah. So the year I was there, the second year I was there, that was the COVID year and the vaccine mandates and all that. So that summer we were coming into training camp and it was, you know, everything was delayed. We didn't do anything that spring. We stayed home. It actually was a really cool year because we got to, you know, stay home with the family and all that kind of stuff. And then we come in and it's like, you know, not mandatory, but pretty, you need to do this. And then what they started doing was they started coming up with all these essentially punishments or just like, hey, they were saying stuff like, cause the year before was the COVID year, right? Mm-hmm. You know, full you couldn't go into the hot tub and you couldn't go into the steam room, things like that. But everybody was doing that, right? So the next year when it was like, hey, get vaccinated and you can get back in the hot tub, you can get back in the sauna and you can like not wear a mask. And I was just like, so that's why I should do it? Like, you're not making sense here. You're telling me to get, you know, get a shot, a mystery shot in my arm, but you're not really telling me why. And then they come up with other things like, well, you know, the health and all those things. Like, if you do this, then you'll get to go home on the bye week. And I'm like, you're still just telling me, you know, a reward if I get it, you know? And then, and literally guys were like, yeah, I'm going to get it because I want to go home on the bye week and see my family. Or I want to, when we're going out to away trips, you know, I want to go out to eat. But they were like, if you're unvaxxed, you're going to sit in the hotel room, you know,
which is a form of punishment.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they made it pretty tough on some people. We had thankfully a kind of a core group of guys. There was like 10 of us: Kirk Cousins, quarterback, you know, Harrison Smith, free safety, all the running backs. So Dalvin Cook, a couple of those guys, Adam Thielen, great wide receiver. We had some good players on our team that were like not doing it. And so I felt, you know, a little more, you know, not just
strength in numbers.
Like, yeah. I felt fine with that. So that was good. I mean, there was other teams that were like bragging about being the first fully vaxxed team. And we were the most unvaxxed team with just like 10, which is crazy. Mm. Absolutely crazy.
Do you think a lot more weren't for it, but they just kind of conceded?
Big time.
A lot of that.
A lot of big time. I mean, there was guys that young guys were just scared. You know, some of them are like, there was like three or four little groups. There's the really brave guys that would like get a card. And I don't even really know the individuals on my team that did, but I know some on other teams.
A fake card. Yes.
Yeah. And at that time it was like, you know, they were telling us like, that's like a felony and like, you can't do anything like that. So I was scared to do that.
Yeah.
And you know, fast forward and we'll talk more about why I didn't later, but, yeah, I was a little scared to do that. And then there's guys that were just like, dude, this is just super inconvenient. Like, I don't really care about stuff. I get the flu shot. What's the difference? Whatever. Like, they just listen, just like a lot of the world did.
Yeah.
Just said, you know, you're telling me to do it. I should do it, I guess. Whatever. Who cares? They didn't really think for themselves. You know, and then there was people that were, like, terrified, scared to death. I mean, I had a buddy that was playing for the Lions at the time, a D lineman, and he was the one guy on their team that was like, no chance I'm getting it, but he's really good D lineman. Nick Williams played for years. Like, he was a starter. They weren't doing anything to him. I mean, they were giving him a hard time, but he's like, whatever. There was two rookies on his team that were maybe drafted, but I don't know, but they were probably going to make the team. This was in training camp, and they weren't going to get it. And they were, you know, he was trying to keep them strong and like, look, I got you, man. Just like, don't listen to him. One day they were like in their little D-line meeting room, and the general manager walks in, busts into the room, and like grabs both those guys and starts dragging them to the you know, where they're giving them the shot. And he's like, you're getting this. And the dude's in tears, literally like pulls away from the guy. He's in tears. He's like, no, I'm not going to do it. And they're like, I'm kicking you off this team. You're not, no, no, no. And they weren't allowed to do this. They weren't allowed to do this. And I don't know. I when Nick told me that, I was like, dude, I really want to tell somebody. Like, I want to report that. I didn't end up doing it, but I don't think he was scared he'd get in trouble.
Yeah. You know,
just for telling me. This kid goes off, calls his dad. He's crying on the phone with his dad. His dad's like, don't do it. Ends up getting it.
Jeez.
And I don't even know who that guy was. I don't know if he ended up making the team that year, but I know that every day for the rest of his life, he's regretting doing something he didn't want to do. I'm not saying it was the wrong thing, but for him,
yeah,
he did something that he wasn't.
He was forced to do something, put something in his body that he did not want.
Yeah.
Which is, I don't even know what to call that.
Well, it was illegal a year before all this, you know, to do that.
Yeah. Right?
I mean, you couldn't be forced to do something like that. And then all of a sudden the military was and everybody was.
Yeah, I mean, the military was going the same route. Obviously, I was out at the time, but I was talking to buddies that were still in. And so they were pulling. It's the same game plan where they were like, hey, you guys, it's not mandated, but you guys should get vaccinated. And then when guys were like, no, I don't believe in this, or I don't want to get vaccinated. And they went, and these guys would go through the proper channels, like, you know, file religious exemptions or other things, or like, here's why I don't want it. again, it was in the guidelines, like if you file these things, then you don't have to get it. The crazy part is they would file these things and the military would be like, yeah, we don't care. You're getting it. And then if you don't, so I know, I believe it was on the East Coast SEAL teams. There was a group of dudes. They refused the vaccine. They told the guys, if you don't get vaccinated, you're not deploying. And to a SEAL, that's like going to the game, right? Like you're not playing the game.
Right, right.
And so these guys were like, well, we're not getting it. So they didn't deploy them. But then what they also did is they took that group. You're picking up trash in front of the whole team for months. Like you are, we're going to publicly punish you. Yep. So everyone else can see what happens if you do not conform. And that's pretty much what, as a military wide, is what happened. And it's the same game plan in the NFL. It's that peer pressure of, oh, look at these, you know, these rebels that, you know, are going against the grain of what everybody else is doing, which in my mind, I'm like, those are the heroes.
Yeah.
Right. Those are the ones that have a backbone that are standing up for their beliefs and are willing to stand up against tyranny pretty much of, you know, what you're trying to pull.
Well, they're trying to shame them.
Yeah. And it worked. And then you had the guys in the military also, like, just like you explained, where they're like, well, whatever. I've been vaccinated by other stuff. So just give it to me. I don't care.
Yeah. Big shame game. I mean, that was the thing. It was like, we were the only 10 guys wearing masks. We had to wear a red wristband on our arm. It was like the Holocaust.
Yeah. Might as well be like the Star of David.
I think they wore like a yellow wrist, armband. Seriously. So we had to wear a red wristband and, Then they had all these other things, and one of the things that right in the middle of training camp, it wasn't, you know, they weren't convincing us. So they actually talked to some people in the NFL or NBA, sorry, an NBA connection. And one of the things the NBA commissioner told our commissioner is the biggest success I had with getting people vaccinated was make them come and take a test every single day and wait for that test result before they can get in the building. And so we had to come every day, say the first meeting's at 7 o'clock. We had to be there at like 6 every morning, take a test, you know, nose, whatever, swab test, and wait for it for an hour before we can come in the building. And that way, he was like, that's the one that got most of the guys in the NBA.
Because they'll get tired of doing it.
Yeah, they'll get tired of doing it. They don't want to do that. They don't want to wake up an extra early. They don't want to sit in the parking lot. They don't want to do all those things. You know, everybody else is walking in. Like, dude, what are you doing? You know, you're sitting out there waiting with your mask on, all that crap. Anyway, we turned it into something fun. We brought a bunch of lawn chairs and we like hung out. And
that's awesome.
Most of us were believers. And so we do like a Bible study. And I mean, it was cool. We started to have guys that were vaccinated come and just like sit with us and like hang out, and we'd have coffee. And it was like kind of turned into a cool little movement. But then those guys would get shamed and like really, they'd get really looked down upon by not players, but like coaches and higher ups.
The leadership.
Like, yeah. And especially like our trainer, he was big into it. He used to like text me and brag to me about like how many boosters he'd gotten. And like score for him was like 5 Britain, nothing. You know how many times I've wanted to text him and like when things have happened bad, you know,
in like the sudden death syndrome.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I've wanted to so bad, but I'm trying to hold off on
take that high road.
Exactly. Then they brought in the NFL. They created a whole new like organism, and it was like the NFL mixed with like the whatever drug or something, FDA. I don't know what it was even was, but they brought them in and they would literally walk around. They had cameras everywhere and they were literally just watching us. And so there was fines. If you were to not wear a mask, or if you were to not wear your armband, or if you were too close to somebody, you know, you could get this big fine. So one day I take a shower and I'm getting out of the shower and sitting there in my locker and I'm naked still, got the towel on, and I'm like, I grab my phone and I'm looking at my phone and I see this guy walk in and just walk past me and through it. And I don't think anything of it, right?
Yeah.
I just got out of the shower, but I'm kind of like, why are you walking in the locker room? Like you're trying to catch me doing something. At least let me be in the locker room alone, you know. I get a letter, and it actually goes to my agent first, and he's like, hey, you got this fine from the NFL. Or he said it's actually a potential fine. They had told us that, like, these things would not be – there wouldn't be warnings. You would just get the straight fine. It was for $14,793.
What?
And it said at something-something a.m., walked through the locker room, and you were sitting at your locker without a mask on. And it was like, dude, I was still naked and changing. And so they expected us to have your mask on by yourself. There was nobody in the locker at this time. This was like everybody was in meetings and they were doing all the stuff that normal football players do. And I'm in there all by myself. And he was like, I'm going to let you go this time. I'm not going to turn it in. So I didn't get that fine. But it was like other guys got that fine.
Yeah.
For doing one thing wrong with when those NFL guys were there. They were there like 4 days a week. And that happened after a certain time. It was like, all right, we're gonna up the level.
It's like the Gestapo or something. You know, they're coming through like, well, got ya.
Yep.
And now we're gonna make you pay.
Yep. Yeah. Because here's what happened. The NFL, like the teams, they didn't care about us getting vaccinated. But have you guys noticed how many vaccine commercials are now on NFL games?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, tons of them, right? Mm-hmm. It didn't used to be like that. So I'm imagining that Pfizer, Bill Gates, all these higher-ups came to the NFL. They said, hey, we're going to give you billions of dollars, put our ads on your thing, but in turn, we want you to get your guys vaccinated. We want the world to think disgusting. That all the pro athletes got it. And then they're like, okay, well, if you want this money, you need to get them vaccinated. So they had to come up with, okay, so how are we going to convince these guys to get vaccinated? Well, we need to make rules. There needs to be punishments, not just what's going to happen to them, but like one of the things was, and it was amazing how they did this. It was almost like the mind stuff they used like back in like the Nazi days, but even people that were like on my side started to be like, hey dude, you're gonna hurt us because you're not vaccinated. Like they would twist it. And what would happen is so back in the day there was like, if you were close contact, cause we had everybody wore not the red wristband, but everybody else wore like some kind of armband. And if it would calculate all your minutes and where you were and who you were close to. So there were close contacts. So like the linemen, they were the ones that were pressured the most to get vaccinated because they literally are in a line next to each other. And then, you know, so like you're going to be at a practice, you're going to be next to your guy for 2 hours. So if you're going to be a close contact, which became some kind of thing that you can catch a virus because you're in close contact. Yes. And so they use that close contact thing and they were on the line and they were like, you have to get vaccinated because if you don't, you're going to be a close contact. And then it's like, but what happens? Well, here's what happens. They came up with, if you're unvaccinated and you are a close contact with somebody who is vaccinated with COVID, the vaccinated player with COVID, all they have to do is produce a positive test and they're back in. But you, just being unvaccinated and a close contact, negative COVID test, you're out for 2 weeks. Out. Like, miss two games. That's the type of things they created.
Punishment.
And go back and keep in mind that we couldn't come in the building unless we were negative. So when something would spread, it was spreading among the guys that were vaccinated because we were coming in with a negative test. But everything would be pointed up on us. Yeah, and those guys that were vaccinated and positive, if you were unvaccinated and positive, you're out for close to a month. Like you're just going home, you're getting away from everybody. But if you're vaccinated and you have a positive test, go home for the day, come back tomorrow, positive test, come back the next day, negative test, you're back. But if
insanity, dude.
Insanity.
Yeah.
That doesn't make that makes zero sense. That's opposite, honestly. But also, if I remember wrong, the vaccination doesn't mean you don't carry it or pass it. Exactly. It just reduces, it's not really a vaccine. It just reduces the symptoms.
Right.
Correct? So it's like,
and it doesn't even really do any of
it. It doesn't
those
do
things.
Any of it.
I mean, theoretically it does those things, but it didn't.
And they've come out with studies now and, you know, there's so much crap to read on it, but it's saying the more boosts you get, the more likely you are to catch COVID again, right? That's what the studies that are coming out now are saying, and it's insanity. So it was one of the biggest shams the government has ever pulled on the American people. Oh, yeah. And I think that is where, I think people, you know, there was probably two different groups, people that trusted the government and then people that, you know, questioned it. But I think after this, there's the group that doesn't trust the government grew in size.
Oh, for sure.
And, you know, for the right reasons. It's, you know, people are like, dude, you literally just pulled the biggest prank that cost lives, cost jobs, families were ruined, you know, all because you wanted to make money. And that's all it comes down to, which is why the pharmaceutical companies getting involved with the NFL. And the reason they do that is because they probably, the pharmaceutical companies probably looked at it like, listen, who does the young generation look up to? Who have they always looked up to? NFL players, like sports stars. So if we can get these guys vaccinated, and then they're out there touting, hey, we're vaxxed. Kids, the younger generation is more likely to be like, well, they're doing it, then I'm going to do it. Mm-hmm. Because those are the heroes that I look up to. Yep. But the reality, I think the people that sat there and stood their ground like you, and I know, was it Aaron Rodgers? Did he stand? He was on Rogan, I think.
Yeah, I got a little bit of a bone to pick with him because he stood his ground, but he also lied and was telling people he was immunized so he wouldn't have to wear a mask, a red wristband.
Yeah, he was playing the game.
Crap. So I, you know.
Well, yeah, that's okay.
But he didn't get it, so good for him. But my biggest beef is with maybe semi with him because of his power, his level of influence in the NFL. My biggest is Tom Brady. Tom Brady, his ex-wife wouldn't let him wear sunscreen because it's poisonous. That's where they are health wise. I know. I would believe I got it before he got it. You know what I mean? And I know I didn't get it. Like,
yeah,
the vaccine. So their team was the most unvaccinated team during training camp at this one time. And everybody's giving them a hard time. The media, they're asking them all this stuff. One day, Tom addresses the media and he says, we're not going to talk about this vaccine thing anymore. You know, like with a wink, wink, like we're not going to talk about it anymore. The next day, the headlines were Bucks fully vaccinated.
Really?
Fully vaccinated.
Why do you think that is? I mean, do you think he just broke down?
Straight up said, no, he didn't get it.
Oh,
I think
he straight up said,
Roger, I'm not getting this. You can't make me get this. I won't play. And Roger said, I'm sorry. I mean, think about it.
Yeah, he's
if
Tom
he doesn't
Brady.
Play, like he was the NFL at the time.
Yeah.
Right? So he goes, you're not going to talk about it anymore. You're not going to do anything. You know, we're good. And then it was just they were vaccinated. And then later on it came out that what's his name? The crazy wide receiver that took his shirt off that one game and like left the game. Antonio Brown.
Yeah.
Caught for having a card. And he was on the team at the time. So either they got a card, all of them, or some of them, or they just didn't get it at all. And they just said, you're not going to ask us anymore because
we got Tom Brady.
And exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that's that. So my thing with Tom is if you have that kind of influence, you could have said, hey, no, you're not going to do this to these young guys in the NFL. You're not going to make everybody get it. Like, drop it for everybody.
Yeah.
He could have done that. He really could have with his power.
Yeah, and set the example.
But he didn't. He just wanted to play. He wanted to win, which is all he's ever wanted to do. He just cares about winning, and that's why it took him so long to retire. You know? So his is that hurts because I saw the young guys that it hurt, the scared guys, the guys that got something they didn't want to get because they wanted to keep playing. I mean, I had tons of those conversations in the locker room, you know, because they were like, dude, man, like, what do I do? And like, I'm like, how old are you? And they're like, well, 21. I'm like, dang, that's tough, you know, because I was sitting there thinking, like, I'm almost, you know, I don't know what I was at the time, but I'm 39 now. But I was like, I played 11 years. I don't need to play anymore.
Yeah.
You know, I probably will lose my job, but I'm cool with that. Like, I told a lot of guys that. I said, if I was your age, I probably would get it too. If I was in your spot, I would have probably got it.
Yeah, because you're like, I'm in the NFL now. Yeah. I'm living my dream. I'm not going to let this stop me. Like,
that's how good of a job they did.
Yeah.
Fooling you and making you think that.
So like in the military, I knew guys, they were going after dudes that were seasoned. And so like if guys had 18, 19 years in and they were refusing, those were the dudes they were like, oh, okay, well, guess what? Now you're not going to get a retirement. Now
That'd be the tough part because that's the retirement on the line.
And they did that. Because through our nonprofit, you know, we were trying to help out individuals in the military that were facing that scrutiny and were trying to fight it. And what I found out after talking to multiple individuals is they were threatening more of the guys who had rank, who were long in the tooth, you know, and they were like, okay, if you don't get it, you're not getting retirement. We're going to ruin your family. We're going to ruin your life. Like, this is like outright saying this to them. These are officers telling them, like, we will destroy you if you do not get this vaccine. And not only that, you're setting the wrong example for the younger guys, right? When in reality, it's like these people should be lifted up and praised as like, these are the individuals who should be leaders. The ones right, that have a backbone country, that want, yeah, the ones that stand their ground, but they were demonized for doing so. And that's how I feel about you and like the players in the NFL, right? I think, you know, just like everything else in this world right now, which is it's completely upside down. It's like, we're villainizing the actual heroes who stood up and like, nope, you're not going to change my mind due to my beliefs and my virtues, and I'm going to stand my ground no matter what you throw at me. And I think that is what kids should be looking up to nowadays, instead of people like, oh, well, yeah, I'm going to get vaxxed and just so I can keep playing. You know, it's a tough situation for sure. But
what's wild to me is that doing the close friend watch thing or your close contact deal, one that's just does not make sense to me on that because it's opposite logic. But also what's wild of that, it created a sense of I'm hurting people.
Yeah.
Like I'm hurting my friends. I'm hurting my teammates.
Shame.
And I mean, if you didn't know any, like there's a, talk about a pressure there. It's like, oh, like, if I don't get it, then I'm hurting people. I don't want to hurt people.
That
you know?
Was the and best tool they used.
Dude. Yeah.
Because you could see it in those guys' eyes, you know, especially some of those linemen and stuff. Like, you know, those groups that are different, like, that's the thing about football. It is so, even more than other sports, it's similar to what you did. And it's just like everybody, every part is important to
it's
each
a team
other.
Environment.
They all need it. They all need each other.
Yeah.
And so those linemen are looking at each other and they're looking at the running back and the running back's looking at them. The quarterback's looking at the line. Like, I mean, it was just crazy. It was absolutely nuts. So when I got fired, obviously I knew it was for that. They didn't tell me that, but any time in the NFL, if you get fired, one or two things happened. You might just see it on the bottom line of ESPN before you even know about it. Because that's how much they just, like, don't care. They just say, you know, you're done or your agent calls you or whatever.
See the TV today?
Oh, yeah. I've had people tell me, like, dude, what happened? I'm like, what are you talking about? They're like, you got fired. Like, what? Or they just have some little peon guy that, like, you know, comes and says, hey, bring your playbook to, you know, coach or whoever, and you know it's over. Well, they called me in to the office, and the GM, you know, told me. And, of course, he – you know, went around the truth, and I even brought up, like, is this why? And he's like, no, in fact, we just signed a guy, a tight end, who's not vaccinated. And I'm like, it's because you need a tight end. Like, you know, you don't need a punter that's, you know, there's other punters that you could get, you know.
Yeah.
There's nothing guaranteed on my contract. All the other guys that were not getting vaccinated were starters, and they had guaranteed money, you know.
Yeah.
And so it would have really hurt them. And, you know, a punter is always one of those positions that they're always looking to – you know, cut corners or whatever. But the way that I truly can just know that that's what it was is I say all those other things of way you get fired to say this. My agent sends me an email, or actually it's a FedEx. He had gotten it sent to him, and then they FedExed it to me like within a day. And it was a letter that said that they were firing me. And then there was like multiple choice answers, like reasons. And they had like checked a box. It was, you know, performance related, whatever. But never have I met a player in the NFL, and I've asked probably 50 since then, have they ever gotten a letter, you know, like that says a reason they got fired that doesn't exist. So they were covering their tracks. Yep. They were trying not to get sued.
Yeah.
And it's just like, that's my proof right there. Like, obviously everything, it's obvious why I got fired, but that right there just says it all. So that was crazy.
When you got that letter, was there a sense of like, oh man, like I still had years left, or were you like, you know what, was there a sense of pride that I stood for what I believed in? You know, it came down to the very end and I still didn't.
I can walk out of here with my head held high.
Yeah. Yes. Because see, one thing my dad still lives with is just some little bits of regret. Like he thinks he could have played a lot longer. He ended up getting an injury back then. They weren't as good with surgeries and stuff like that. He came back from the injury and mentally he just wasn't there, just could not handle it. So he went out because he just kind of fell apart a little bit. Mm-hmm. And he admits that. And so he has a lot of regrets. And I think I'd still be playing right now. I mean, my brother played 17 years. I was on 11, and now it's been like 4 years. So, I mean, I was always saying my goal was to play till I was 40. Maybe, you know, anything after that's gravy. So I know I feel great. All those things, I'm healthier than I've ever been. So, yeah, I know I could have still been playing, but going out on your own and going out doing something you believe in and knowing that, it gives you peace. Like, I had closure.
Yeah.
I don't have any regrets as far as, like, oh, man, if I'd have done that in that game, or if I would have just worked harder. Like, I have no regrets. So that is a huge blessing, because I could have played 7 more years and then had some kind of epic playoff failure, or, like, you know, drop a ball, or, you know what I mean? And there's guys that their career ended on some kind of big play,
yeah,
in the Super Bowl or in a playoff. And I get to go out saying I did everything I wanted to do and went out on my own terms. I was still trying to make it that year. So this is crazy. This is how I just know that it's just, like, so messed up. Another one of their things that they came up with was if you weren't on a team and you were unvaccinated, you had to go through this crazy screening process to even get a workout. So I get fired, and immediately teams are calling. My agent's like, hey, Baltimore, blah, 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 Atlanta, da, da, da. I go to my brother's house. We're all at my brother's house. He hadn't done anything all summer, like, wasn't on a team and didn't get vaccinated. We were kind of like, dude, why don't you just get a card, like, whatever, be totally, you know,
yeah,
who cares? You know, a lot of doctors, just do it. I would do it, but I was in too deep. They knew if I showed up with a card, they'd be like, you did not get this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I was like on a soapbox every day in that building. So they knew that if I got a card, it was I'm not going to say he got a card, but I will say that he was vaccinated. My brother was not unvaccinated, and we're together. It's a few weeks into the season. He still hadn't gotten on a team yet. We have the same agent. Atlanta Falcons calls my agent, and my agent calls me and, hey, the Falcons want to sign you. Like, their punter just got hurt. They want to sign you. And then he's like, but hold up a second. They're talking about, you know, health stuff, and they're wondering if you're vaccinated. And, you know, my agent was very pro-vax because he almost died of COVID, which was unfortunate for him and me. But he was not anti me, and he supported me.
Did he have, like, comorbidities?
Yeah,
he unhealthy.
I mean, a little bit. Yeah. And but he was more of a product of what they do to you if you get to the point of going into the hospital. They flip you over and they put you on a ventilator.
Yeah, which was killing people.
And
they
give you crap that kills you.
Yeah.
So he was that, you know. And,
okay.
And so, you know, he thinks that COVID's the worst thing that ever happened. And he thought I was absolutely crazy that I did not get the vaccine. And he was like, you'll probably not ever play again because of this, but I'm going to fight for you and I'm going to support you, which was cool. So
yeah.
Love him. But anyway, so he's like, yeah, they want to know if you're healthy and they want to know if you're vaccinated. So Atlanta was the first team to claim they were fully vaccinated. So that was out. 5 minutes later, they call my brother. They sign my brother. Right then, he flies out to Atlanta and plays 9 weeks with the Falcons. Because he's vaccinated. and meanwhile, I got calls weekly. Nikki claims it's more than – it was about 15 teams. And the only question they asked was, is he healthy and is he vaccinated? And it was just like they didn't want to do it. Because if you did, say you got – there was a couple punters that got hurt that year on like a Thursday. I wouldn't have been able to play. Because you have to come and you have to test for 5 days before you can even get in their building and try out.
Gosh.
So that was another thing they made. They're like, hey, if we do this, no team will want an unvaccinated player because it takes so long to get them. It's just a big old hassle.
Yeah. We'll make it a rigmarole. So that way, you know, it's forcing that individual, if he wants to work, if he wants to play, he has to get vaccinated.
Yep.
I mean, and so it's, yeah, it became a mandate without being a mandate.
Exactly. And
yeah.
Then in the playoffs, I don't know if you remember this, a lot of guys were getting COVID. A lot of vaccinated players were getting COVID. And then they were like, oh, shit, this is going to catch up to us. We're going to have to, you know, what is our rule for if you have COVID? You can't play, blah, blah. And then it's all of a sudden people were going to be missing games. They dropped every protocol, like, completely in the playoffs.
Of course.
Because
so you could have got, if you were vaccinated and you got COVID, you could still play in the game like 3 days later?
Yeah, oh, yeah. If you got a positive test or a negative test, you're good. And then it got to where it was like, oh, man, it's 2 days before the game. This guy's got COVID. He's not going to get a negative test. we're just dropping the protocols because it's Josh Allen, the quarterback for the Bills. I'm just making that up. But yeah. It was like big name guys. And that's a whole other thing. When we were watching the guy collapse on the field from the heart attack, I mean, the first thing my kids were like, that's from the vaccine, 100%. You saw the fear in all the guys' eyes on the field.
Yeah.
And it wasn't just because the guy collapsed. It was because, holy crap, that's.
Yeah, because it was happening all over the place. Yeah. I mean, do you happen to know, like, how many players have dropped since the vaccine came out? At all, or like had?
I mean, I know there's like tons, like several soccer players.
Yeah, I know, and soccer players was a huge one.
Yeah, big time. I mean, I don't know how many. You know, I haven't kept up. And I think that NFL, that was the only one in the NFL. The guy, you know, doing it, and the fact that it was on a Monday night game, I know they were like, "Oh, dang, this isn't good." You know,
it's insane. Yeah, I know the soccer players were a big one. There's guys dropping left and right.
Oh, yeah, yeah, across the world. But it happens, and then it's gone. You can't. It's like gone the next day.
We don't talk about No. It's not talked about. No. It's swept under the rug, and it's, I mean, what labeled as the sudden death syndrome, which is like, what? Like, what do you mean sudden death syndrome? Like, and that's the thing. People are so easily manipulated. They're like, okay, sudden death syndrome.
Yeah, if you say it.
Can't be from the vaccine.
Right.
Yeah, insane. I mean, the level of idiocy that went on during that time sounds like, you know, not just in the NFL, also in the military. I mean, I'll tell a quick story. I was talking to a guy that was a Ranger, and he was deployed during all that time. And this is no BS. This dude was going out on ops in Afghanistan, you know, whatever, getting the Taliban or whatever they were going after. So they would go out on an op, capture a guy, you know, get into a firefight. As soon as they came back to the forward operating base, which wherever they were at, they would pull the guys on the op, put them in a room, solitary room for 2 days. They would test them, like, you're not allowed to be around anybody. And he said guys, when they came off the helicopter, were in hazmat suits coming up to them, grabbing them, putting them in solitary, sliding food underneath the door as they had to sit there and wait for these test results to come back so they could go operate again and risk their lives again. Wow. That was going on overseas. I mean, so it was happening all over the place. And the crazy thing is when you have people, you know, and then NFL players are the same way, like, I want to play. I want to do my job. You know, they'll go to those levels, like, all right, if this is what I have to do to go out there, and, you know, especially in the military, it's like, if this is what I have to do to go out there and confront evil, then okay, I'll do it. But to me, I'm like, dude, where were the brains in the room that just took a step back and looked at the situation, you know, from high above, and like, what are we doing? Yeah. What are we doing to these individuals, you know? And it just didn't happen.
Persecuted. That's what you're saying. They got persecuted if you did.
Yeah.
Especially at higher levels, they probably really got pressured and persecuted. Have you had experiences where you've had guys that pressured in, or, I mean, I think most people were just like lose my job or do it, they say I'm going to be hurting people and I don't really have any, it's still really tough to find non-messed with data. Like, I just, give me some good data sets, right? Like, well, okay, I don't think I can trust the CDC. So like, where could I get some, you know, third-party data stuff? And it's tough to find. But you have guys that come to you now and go almost like in shame that they got it. And you're like, dude, I don't care that you chose to get it. That was your choice. Right. Like, it's, I don't know. I've seen a lot of that. They feel almost shameful to admit that they got the first one or they got some boost. And in my mind, I'm like, I didn't get it, but that was your choice to get it. Like, I don't care.
That was the whole thing for me. It was like, I don't care, you know? It's just like, I'm not going to do it. I don't care if you do. You know, it's just like, we should be able to choose.
Yeah.
That's the biggest thing.
Well, don't force me to.
Yeah, it's not like, I'm not against you because you're a vaxxer, you know? I'm just an anti-vaxxer, you know? And that's my choice. And used to, we had a choice, and that's literally the
it's called freedom.
Foundation of our dang country.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. It's just insane. Insane. So
have they, so since you've been out, and obviously they've because I know in the military they reversed the mandate, and they even were arrogant enough to send out letters to all the military members that they kicked out during that time, being like, oh, "We'll let you back in."
Yeah, I've like seen
you
that.
And not an apology,
right?
But it's you can come back in now. And of course, it's like, dude, nobody like, no, I don't want to come back in. Have they? Is there anything similar to the NFL where they're like, hey, it's not a mandate anymore? Do you want to come back? Have you gotten anything like that, or know anybody that's gotten anything like that?
Honestly, I don't know another guy that knows for a fact that they got fired for the vaccine. That's how many guys got it or were, you know, pretended to get it or whatever. It was like so few of us. And so, I mean, and I just, when all of a sudden it went away, I was talking to guys that were still playing and that didn't want to get it, but did. And they didn't even act like they said just one day they came in. It was just like, everybody act like nothing had happened and like, just completely act like the last year was not even real.
Yeah.
And that's how the NFL did. And that's how they acted. They just acted like, oh, well, I think the pressure was off them. They got what they wanted. Pfizer, all those.
Yeah. They got their money.
Got what the NFL to do what they wanted. They checked their, you know, checked off what they were supposed to do, and it was good. And they just literally acted like nothing had never happened. And it was eerie, some of the guys said. They said it was just like super eerie, like coming into work, like, we supposed to be doing that? Like, what's going on? Like, even the guys that didn't get vaccinated that were getting shamed, it was just like, never talked about it again. Just no convo about it.
Gosh.
So, no, there's definitely been nothing, you know, for me and reaching out and all that. I mean, they don't even care. I mean, but that's kind of how it is anyway. Once you're out, like.
Yeah, you're out.
You know, out of sight, out of mind, you know? So.
Yeah. I think for the military, it's just they're hurting. Obviously, on recruitment right now, that's a big, big thing where they cannot get people to join because of their own actions.
Yeah.
It's like, you idiots. Like, yeah, of course nobody wants to join now. They've seen firsthand what you do to people when they don't conform.
Right.
So, yeah, there's nothing inspiring about joining the military when you have leadership who are willing to destroy lives because they're, you know, pushing some agenda. So, no, kids aren't dumb nowadays either. Kids have all the information at the palm of their hand, so they can see what's going on. But, yeah, it's a shame, man. I think that whole two-year period, I don't think we've even seen the repercussions yet from that.
No, I agree.
Right? I think we're starting to see them a little bit, but I think it's going to keep growing. And then who knows what that vaccine is going to end up doing to individuals. I mean, I don't know. I mean, you know, I'm not a doctor, but just from the reports and everything that have come out, you know, people dropping dead and that, you know, the vaccines actually didn't work. And actually you're going to get COVID more now that you've been boosted. It's like,
dude. And then what's the next thing they're going to come up with?
Well, they will. They'll come up with another disease or another distraction. And especially this year, it'll come out. I mean, it's election season. Yeah.
You know,
and they're like, hey, it worked. We can do this. We can get people to do exactly what we want.
Do you feel like when you got dropped for performance or whatever it was,
yeah.
when you got let go, do you see like God working in that, in the sense of like, you know what? I don't know if there would have, you know, ever been like the perfect time to leave, and I'd have felt like I had 11 years. I got to win a Super Bowl. I got all these things that was your dream since a kid, And I got to leave in a place where I took a stand for what I believed in and did not waver, right? Like, followed it through with all the pressure. And then now God's going, hey, now I want you to, you know, you got at the time, what, like 3, 5, 7, 9, like your kids. Now you get to spend that time with the kids and you get to be present for them every day. And I'm going to move you on to something different, whatever that looks like. But especially with your family, you see God like completely giving you, it's really like exactly like the best way to go out.
It is. You're exactly right. I mean, it is. I think about that a lot because that part of you that just says like, man, it'd be nice and easy to just still be doing that, you know, mm-hmm. because, you know, for me, I'm not going to say it was easy, but you know what I mean? It's easier. It's like what you're good at, you know? So what's hard is trying to figure out what else you can do and be good at something else and have success there. So that's hard to me. So that was easy for me, even though it was hard and I had to work my butt off. But, yeah, dude, it's just like such a gift because you're right. I think about that all the time. Like, I don't know when the right time would have been. The right time right now, I know in my house is now, like with my family. Like, this is the perfect time. It's the hardest time. It's the craziest time. Like, yeah. Their ages, but they need me.
Yeah.
My wife needs me. I mean, there was right before I got that happened, she got had to have breast cancer. She had breast cancer and had to have a double mastectomy, and it was like shit hit the fan, you know, that year. It was a crazy, crazy year. And so she's great now, amazing, awesome, but, you know, still the stresses.
Yeah.
And if she had to kind of go at that alone and whatever, it would just be really hard. And you know, where we live is just a bubble.
Yes.
It's unbelievable. It's the best. And so, I mean, she was getting to where she didn't even want to go wherever else we were playing for that 4, 5, 6 months. You know, she never wanted to leave here. And so these last few years with, you know, world being crazy and her health stuff and my thing happening, it was actually a huge blessing to just be here together. You know, it was, we were just the unit that we were meant to be. So, and also, dude, my kids have more pride in what I did than I did. I do.
That's,
they really do.
That's what I keep thinking about is, I mean, the example that you set for your kids, like standing up and be like, no, this is what we do. We stand up for what we believe in.
Yep.
And no matter what's thrown at us, I mean, you just set your kids up for success. Like, it, you know, being in the NFL, winning Super Bowls, that's all awesome. And that's badass. And I'm sure, you know, as your kids are probably look at that, like, that's awesome. But I think more you seeing you stand up and be like, nope, I'm leaving with my head held high and that's it. That is going to carry them through the rest of their lives. Cause I think that's very similar. Cause I left on similar terms. Not similar, but
I'd say pretty similar.
Yeah. Andrew and I left. We, you know, the military tried to demonize us and throw me away for life. All based off lies, but also like they were saying my past career, everything that I did was wrong and all that. And that's like, you know, my wife and my kids were with me my whole career. So in saying that, it's like, well, then you were supporting something that was wrong. And we knew that that wasn't right. And so my kids got to see my wife and I stand up and fight back against the government and actually win. And I think that alone, it trumps anything we've ever done, mm-hmm. right? That alone, they see like my parents are willing to stand up and fight back no matter what. And I think that's the same your kids must think about you as well. And I think that's bigger than anything.
Yeah.
Right.
And I'm just seeing that now. Like I wasn't seeing it as much when it happened. If anything, when it happened, they're like, not why. It was never about like why would – it was never you should have gotten that or why that. But it was just like sad that it's over and things like that. And I wish – now it's like – I mean, I've had – Everly, my 10-year-old, has like literally bragged to a friend. It's like, my dad got fired from the NFL because he didn't get the vax. like he's a badass, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm just like, wow. And she's my one that like doesn't really care about all that, you know? So – but – and they're just – they're more health conscious now because now they know – nobody else is looking out for them. That's the only one that matters. But the government sure as hell isn't. They, you know, they question everything now, food, like just everything, you know. And so anytime they hear the word vaccine, we're like, no, there's other vaccines.
Yeah.
Not just that. They're like looking at me like, what? You know, I mean, so I mean, I'm noticing that more today than I even was a year ago, that they are more proud of that than anything. So I definitely – no regrets.
Yeah. Blessed.
I think so what's blessed. Cool with it is like even in times of like, I don't know, darkness behind stuff, right? Like in seeing a lot of bad happen, like God even uses that for the good, right? Like he for used sure. all that for the good of your kids, for you, like even when we don't know it. So in the time you're not thinking or you'll have thoughts of what's the purpose behind mm-hmm. this? I don't understand what you're doing here, God. But usually a little ways out, you're like, oh, looking back.
Yeah.
I mean, with Eddie's story, a lot similar is Eddie, like the very thing that I don't see how you could be a sill and not have it as an idol somewhat because it's just your world.
It's your identity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And no God, that the only way, like, God's like, all right, I love you enough to, like, let you go through this and destroy that thing.
I'm going to throw you in a prison cell for 9 months, and you can sit on that for a little bit and see who's going to come and actually save you. And it was God.
Yeah.
You know? And that's sometimes some of us are we're a little stubborn. You know? We're like, all right, so I needed that.
Need a little bit more of a wake-up call on those. But
dude, it's Romans 8:28.
But he loves us enough to do that. Yep. To me, that's – and, of course, at the time when you're in the brig – like, you're probably not seeing the full picture there. But then, like, as you're going through it, like, he's breaking you of something to, like, bring you to a whole other level.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
So cool.
And it's a blessing, you know, and that's – God doesn't put anything on your plate he knows you can't handle. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sometimes it's a lot, and you're like, what is this? But, you know, and we preach it all the time. It's like, as long as you have faith in him, and you will get through it, and then it's on you to help others once you get through. And that's, you know, at the beginning of the podcast, we were talking about, you know, not, you know, we lived our dream, right? But, and finding that new purpose. But I'm like, especially in your situation, you know, you're a hero in my eyes just for standing up and against all that. And you can use that to help others that are forced in those same situations, right? Because it's not going to be the last time that people are going to be shamed or, you know, put into situations where like, you better do this or follow along with the crowd and conform. And you are a prime example that you can help others be like, no, this isn't the way. What you're doing right now, standing up for your beliefs, will work out. Believe me.
Yep.
But you have to go through this turmoil. You have to go through this frustration. And as long as you have faith in God, it will come to fruition. You will be lifted. You will be elevated up. Mm-hmm. But you just have to have faith. And that's, I mean, that's what I got from going through what I did, you know, and just hearing your story, you know, and seeing, you know, where you're at. You're in the bubble here on 30A and just being home with your kids and being able to watch them grow up and take them to practices. And I know it's busy and it's like,
crazy.
It's like nuts, but at the same time, that's life. That's like the beauty of what you're going through, the beauty of life right now, being with your family. And at the end of the day too, and what I found out is like family's all that matters, right? Mm-hmm. I think, in both of our jobs, there's that pressure of, well, everybody's looking up to you. And, like, all these, you have to, like, you know, take into account all these people that are watching you. You can't let them down. Yeah, there's a little bit of truth to that. But at the end of the day, does that really matter? No. Because, like you said, you're only as good as your last kick or your last practice or whatever. And the same in the teams. It's like we have that saying, you're only as good as your last house run. So you constantly have that pressure to be the best, but for what? Like, to impress who?
Yeah.
All I care about is impressing is my wife and my kids. And, their praise of me, or, like, if they're like, hey, we're proud of you, that hits home to me more than some random stranger being like, hey, thank you for what you did. And I appreciate that, but what they think of me is all that matters. And I'm sure it's, you know, similar.
Yep. God and your family. I mean, that's all that matters.
Yeah, when Everly says, my dad's a badass for sticking up.
There could be no better compliment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that feels good for sure. So, I mean, I'd never go back. But, we're in it and we love it.
What's cool, with when all that was going on, being here on 30A, because we moved here like 6 months before y'all did. So like 2018, I think it was.
Yeah.
I think it was, y'all moved in like June or something.
June or July.
And we moved in December. And then, like, you know, we had no idea that stuff's coming. In fact, I had an Amazon business where we were manufacturing things and selling it on Amazon. And one of the guys that worked for me goes, hey man, I'm kind of seeing in my research a little uptick in these like, N90 like masks. He's like, should we like buy a buttload of them and sell them?
Get out of here.
And I was like, we didn't know anything. This was like, and I was like, I don't know. Maybe let's talk about it more. We ended up not doing. I'm like, oh man,
dude.
Like we would have killed it at that. But we didn't know that was coming. And when it did, having my kids. The only time they even wore a mask was when we traveled, which was rare.
Right.
They didn't even, and then they didn't understand. They don't know. They didn't have to go through any of that fear and all the crud that a lot of kids had to go through, and especially in bigger cities.
Oh yeah,
messed a lot of people up.
Yeah, I mean we're on a different planet here.
Really,
I mean that's
just really grateful for it.
Yeah, I mean we didn't have to deal with 5% of what people had to deal with all over the rest of the country. Because I remember traveling during that time. Mm-hmm. First off, I will say this: I didn't mind. Minus wearing the mask on the plane, which definitely put me in a negative mindset each time because I hate being told what to do. But I was like, okay, I have to do this. But I also didn't mind, like, the planes were empty. You're like, yeah. And the airports were empty. And I was like, okay, I guess the mask, I can deal with this, you know. But it was like going to New York, or I traveled to California. It was like Gestapo land out there. I mean, landing in California at the airport on the loudspeakers were like, they had cops roving around. If you didn't have your mask on, you were getting, you know, talked to or hemmed up. And I was like, dude, is this like, we live in such a bubble. Like, and I'm like, dude, I want to go back home. I want to go back home and I want to stay there. And I think the big thing is we went to New York on the 20th anniversary of 9/11. And we weren't allowed to eat in the restaurant because we did not have a vaccine card. And they were literally like, well, you can eat out here outside. And it was like the big window, you know, looking into the restaurant where it's, and everyone's just like looking at us with shame, like, ugh, you know, yeah. Unvaxxed. And you're like, dude, this is happening.
Yeah. Like, that makes me mad.
Some biblical
it's like,
stuff right there.
Yeah.
That's some biblical friggin' stuff.
Freaking war hero that fought against, you know, what, in not letting you eat in a restaurant.
I mean, but that's, dude. That's the state of our. I mean, that was the state of our country, and I don't think it has really gone too far away from that. I mean, I think we're still riding that wave a little bit, and I think we can all expect this.
I mean,
year.
There's places that are doing mandates right now, right?
Like, yeah, it still goes on, for sure.
Silly. If we didn't in this little bubble, if we didn't turn on the TV or listen to something, we would have no clue. We wouldn't.
No.
I mean, how else would we? Because no one does anything. No one, like.
Yeah.
This, when, and you said with your wife with cancer, she recovered, correct?
She recovered, like, yeah.
100% fine. Yeah. I mean, she's.
Blood test, yeah. Everything, 100%. It was caught way early. It was a blessing. You know, her only things right now, she has, like, regrets. Like, did I even really need to do that? You know, going back to questioning the system and all that stuff. Yeah. She's like, did I even really have that? You know, I mean, because they're very fast.
Oh, yeah.
And it saves people's lives sometimes, right? Like, they have to be fast sometimes. But she's like, we all have cancer cells. We all do. And she's like, you know, so she has those regrets. I think some of that can be a little dangerous. And I think the devil wants to put doubt in your mind and
yes.
Make you have regrets and things like that. So I'm trying to help her out of that. But
that's also the level of distrust the government has placed on us from their actions. And so, yeah, you can't help but question everything, you know, especially if you go to the hospitals nowadays, it's pretty much known, like, you guys operate off of money. Like, this is a business.
We saw it in the COVID thing when you got $35,000 or whatever for every.
This isn't about the health and welfare of people. This is about how much money can you make, and they'll push stuff on you that you don't need. I mean, there's enough documentaries out there, not just about, you know, COVID. There's other things, you know, opioids, all this other stuff. They will pull the wool over your eyes and be like, yep, this is good for you. Take this. And the next thing you know, they have a patient for life. It's like, now you're addicted. And now we have you. And those are the things you do have to think about. But at the same token, there is good. They do good, right? Like, mm-hmm.
Right.
Some things you do need to go to the hospital for and get taken care of. And that's the frustrating part now, is like, you don't know what to believe. And you have to, like, and I tell people, you have to be your own critical thinker. Like, you have to do your own research as well. You know, I think my wife was sick, you know, a couple weeks ago, and I just went and looked up, and I hated doing it, but I was like Googling everything. But I looked at like 15 different articles, and so if I saw the same, you know, thing in 15 different articles, whether they might have been different or a little bit, then I'd be like, okay, this is probably what it is. Mm-hmm. If they're putting the same thing in each article.
Yeah.
But it takes work to do that.
Yeah, you kind of got to bypass Google.
Yeah.
Somehow, some, you know, to an extent, because you never know. They're all in cahoots with all that crap.
Mm-hmm.
They were like, Google is one of the bigger donors of, or investors in Pfizer.
Yeah.
Like, that's documented. I mean, so you're just like, okay, so every article I look up, you know, it's just crazy.
It's a crazy world we live in right now.
She's good, man. So thanks for.
Did you meet her in Tennessee? Did she go to Tennessee?
She went to Memphis. Okay. I'm from Knoxville. Memphis was in town my freshman football season playing us, and we just had mutual friends we met. And that was when Facebook had just gone from, you know, right in your school to, like, other schools. Uh-huh. And so we went into my apartment, became Facebook friends, and then she did her thing. I did my thing about 3 years later on Facebook. We kind of reunited, and then that was when Skype had just came out. Yeah, and, like, that day we got on, like, a Skype video thing and, like, talked for, like, 4 hours. And, you know, when you do that with somebody, it's just like, and she's hot, you know, you're just like, wow, yeah, this is unbelievable. And I had a free weekend that weekend, and I think I went and visited her, and I was just like, this is literally my only free weekend. I was fixing to go into the combine and get ready for, you know, not the draft, but, you know, free agency or whatever. So I went and visited her, and it was just like, the rest is history. Yeah. So
I remember the story, some of, like, the first time y'all met, where she got dared.
Oh, yeah. I didn't mention that. I didn't know if I should. So we were in this parking lot outside my apartment complex, and it was gravel. And she actually dared herself. It was one of those things, like, you know how a girl says to a guy, hey, you dare me to go do da da da. Well, she, I guess, dared herself to go, like, kiss that guy. I was that guy. I remember hearing, like footsteps running at me on the mm-hmm. gravel, and I turned around, and this girl was, like, midair, and she landed in my arms and laid one on me. And then I, like, had to pull her back to, like, make sure, you know, she was hot and everything. It was all good then.
Awesome.
That is not her personality either. So it's just like, when I tell people that, they're like, no way. No way she does it. And she's not a drinker either. So there must have been a little bit of liquid courage there that had to, push her to do that.
Or a little bit of God.
A little bit of God. Hey, no doubt.
Go do this.
No doubt.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
For sure.
Dude, thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah, man.
It's actually the second time for doing this, but also really, really love your story, and especially standing up for what you believe in. NFL, all that stuff's awesome. But to me, someone that stands up for what they believe in, they don't back down, and it ends up losing their dream job that they have for it, especially with a God-centered mindset, is awesome. I respect that a lot. So
appreciate it, man. Thank you.
Yeah, man. I second what Dave said, man. It's always a pleasure having you on here, dude. We'll definitely have to have you.
Yeah, we
got to
do it more.
Yes, I think we can go into deeper conversations and talk about other things. But yeah, man. You are the epitome of a hero. Not just because of what you played in the NFL, because of your actions and what you did, man. So it's an honor to have you.
It means
you on
a
here.
Lot coming from you. A true hero.
Oh, appreciate it. I appreciate you, brother.
All right, man. Thank you, guys.
Out.
Out.
Out.